Evening.
Evening. I think you better raise the volume of your microphone, big time.
It'll go loud again.
It's right down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can't hear the person who's appearing on the podcast today.
Right. Okay, levels. How's that?
Hiya.
That?
Hiya.
How's that then?
That's perfect.
It'll probably go booming loud later. I don't know what it is with my I don't know what it is with my headset and Skype. It just all of a sudden starts to quiet and then boosts the volume.
Yeah. Your computer's fucking with you, that's why.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, it works fine with all the other programs, all the other programs I use with it, like Fraps and things. It's like the volume's constant. It never gets louder or anything. It just seems to be with Skype.
We know. Yeah. Skype's a bitch. Get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll probably be booming loud later.
Very true. Just before we get into the podcast.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by this baby giggling back here.
Oh.
You can hear that.
Oh.
Quick question. What's your opinion on the Oculus Rift and Facebook?
Well, my opinion.
Yeah. Huh? In a short, sharp sentence.
Curious.
Well, I could say things from my side to it as well.
Yeah.
You want to play Farmville on the Oculus Rift?
Yeah.
And while you're playing your games, do you want to get it happened by bloody friend requests and pop-up messages and just because you know that's what their fucking Facebook are doing it as well.
Exactly.
You'll be sitting there busy playing a bloody FPS game. And you'll see things keep popping up in front of you. Bing! Someone wants to be friends.
Yay!
Bing! So someone wants resources on Farmville. Please remember to switch to Farmville so you can see the 2D sprites in all their awesomeness. You know what it is? It's bullshit, if you ask me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Facebook, you've ruined something that could possibly have been something very, very good. Mm-hmm. Hey, message to Sony. All you need to do now is make your VR headset, which you're doing, PC compatible, and then Oculus Rift dies in the misery it is.
Oh.
And Facebook goes, shit.
that'd be funny, yes.
Definitely. Shall we get on with the show, dude?
Yes, I think so. Let's finish my coffee.
You're drinking coffee? Mm-hmm. Frick it. What sort of coffee?
Unfortunately, it's not your favourite. It's just the standard Nescafe stuff.
Frickin' yeah.
unfortunately, so. No, it's... I do like coffee, different types of coffee and things. I'm more of a tea fan though.
Yeah, get some real fucking coffee, man. Get some Alta Rica or get some Costa Rica.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Hello everyone, welcome back to the RMI Fusion Cast, where we talk about games. And we're talking about more old games, aren't we? I think the last one we spoke about was Blood, and that's an old school title. Hi, I'm Tony, and joining me this week is Andrew.
Yes, hello. Yes.
Yes, stop being so overexcited.
How's my microphone?
Shut up,
dude. Yeah, I think the last time I was on the podcast, I was still using my Mac. Because I didn't have a proper microphone to use on my PC, so that'll explain why I sound a bit clearer.
Yeah, it possibly could do. The way that your microphone's been going up and down lately, it sounds like it needs to be beaten like a bad step.
Exactly. I don't know what it is. It's just Skype. It just boosts up the volume all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So
well,
all my other programs, I use like Fraps and stuff for like when I'm doing commentary on my videos and things, and when I'm doing my live streams, it doesn't happen. But with Skype, I have to turn it right down and then. About halfway through, we'll boost the volume up.
Skype's fucking weird.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Right, briefly, What have you been up to?
Very briefly. Well, apart from doing a lot of shifts of work, as usual, I've actually been enjoying doing the live streams. I've been doing my little adventure show series on Twitch. I'm on to my second game now. The first game I did was Snatcher on the Mega CD. I'm on to now doing South Park The Stick of Truth.
Yeah,
thought I'd do a modern game this time around. So,
have you had many people watching?
One or two. I've actually had one extra subscriber since I started.
Ooh, that sounds good to me.
So I've just got up to the point whereby you have to... You have to join these emo guys. Oh, I forgot what they're called now. My mind's gone blank. Done the bit where whereby you were getting absolutely alienly probed on the spaceship. I've now just joined up with these dudes.
But are they the same emo ones that were in the show?
Probably. They begin with C. I've forgotten.
I know there's two boys and there's a real little one and there's a girl.
Yeah, and obviously they're all black hairs and stuff. Yes.
Those guys.
All of a sudden, my mind's just drawn back. I thought, what are they called?
You should stop smoking the crack before the podcast. That's what you should.
Exactly, yeah. And
seriously.
Apart from that, obviously watching the older, doing the old usual, watching Super Sentai and things. I've still got to watch Kamen Rider Deno.
We've been wailing on at you for do that for ages.
Exactly, yeah.
Will you shut up already and do
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. Well, no, I've been watching a lot of a few other shows as well. I've just done my review of Denver the Last Dinosaur, for those who remember that cartoon. I've just got the first season of Pac-Man, the original cartoon, so... Because obviously, I also want to sit down and watch Pac-Man and Ghost Adventures. I thought, you know what, I'll go through the old ones first.
That's very true. By the way, the new ones on Disney XD.
Exactly. Yeah.
As for myself, as I'm the more regular one here, I usually don't have that much to talk about. I'm blaming you entirely. Currently on my YouTube channel, I'm going through Capcom's 2D scrolling games from the CPS1 and the CPS2 hardware. So, yeah, I'm playing some of the classics and giving you my opinions on them. If you check out the website for both me and Andrew's work, just drop down to www.rmifusion.com and then you can see us and the rest of the teams and stuff, because we like making this stuff for you. But other than that, I've not really been doing much else. I've been pulling a few indie games, which I'll be doing reviews on very soon, one of them being a One Finger Death Punch, and that game is so simplistic yet so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. It just is.
Exactly. Well, actually, I can tell you one game we've both been playing though lately as well. It's Pool Nation.
Pool Nation, yes. Mm. If you're ever after a good little game of pool on your PC, then I really do recommend popping to Steam and getting Pool Nation. I think it's about a tenner now. Because we all got it back practically when it was on sale. Mm. But it's a fairly decent game of pool for the PC. And also, in case you want to get your mates copies as well, there's online play as well. So
exactly.
You'll never be short of a game if your friends are online. You can just huddle around the queues and smash your balls everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, God, that sounds so wrong.
Indeed. Right. Shall we get to the topic in question?
Yes, I think so.
The free question, the Sega Mega Drive.
The Sega Genesis has blast processing. Super Nintendo doesn't. So what's blast processing do? And what if you don't have blast processing?
Or, more commonly known as Sega Genesis, if you're one of our American listeners, which I do know you're listening, people, because I do check the Podomatic region results.
Yes.
So, to our friends in America, thank you for tuning in and listening to us, because most grateful. We do appreciate everyone who listens in to us, and that is what keeps us going and keeps spurring us on to do more episodes of listening to us rant and rave like idiots.
Yes.
But the Sega Mega Drive, the machine they were hoping would murder the Super Nintendo, despite the fact it came out first, if I remember rightly. Yeah, it was the rival to the Super Nintendo. I think they got it out first, and Nintendo went, shit!
Exactly, yeah. I believe it was released in Japan in 1988, I think.
Something like that.
America in 1989, and in Europe it was 1990. So, yeah, we kind of got a bit screwed over that here, didn't we?
Indeed, we did. But we're not going to talk about the machine and it's a very unfaithful blast processing power. Yeah, that shit didn't exist. And that's very, very true. That crap didn't exist. Uh-huh. But we're going to talk about some of our fond memories of games that we used to play on the system and even possibly some of the games we still own because of... basically, we still have our Mega Drives, don't we?
We do, yes.
Yeah, and my game collection outshadows Andrew's.
I mean, how long have you had your Mega Drive?
Only about a year and a half.
I've had mine since... I got my one second hand in about 1996, because that was the time when I was actually allowed to have one.
Yeah, that's true. So you've had the actual machine longer thing, but when it comes down to the game collection, my dick's bigger than yours. My dick's bigger than yours. But we have vast games in the collection, and there's possibly even games that we don't own, which we actually do remember. So we're just going to talk about memories of the games that we can. So, Andrew, I'll let you chuck the first one in here.
Okay, the first game I want to talk about is the first game one of the first games I ever played on a Mega Drive. And that is one that everybody knows. It's the original Sonic the Hedgehog. The first time I played Sonic the Hedgehog, it was the first time I ever played on a Mega Drive, and it was actually my first experience of console gaming. My cousins were actually fortunate enough, I think this must have been about 91, 92, they got their hand, they, my cousins who used to live down in Bournemouth, they're all over the place now, sort of thing, but they used to have a Japanese Sega Mega Drive, so in fact I should say it was my first foray into import gaming. they had a Japanese Mega Drive, and they had a ton of games for it and things and whatnot. One of the games I think I finally remember firing up first, it was one of the first ones, was Sonic the Hedgehog. And that's where my love for Sonic and the Mega Drive, you know, and consoles in general, actually started.
Very true. You should listen to the Ego Raptor song about Sonic the Hedgehog that was just recently Starbomb album.
Oh.
Gives you the impression that Tails is always consistently fucked on drugs. I remember Sonic the Hedgehog being one. But the thing is with Sonic, though, is what hasn't been said about that game. Mm. Let's look into a different part of the angle. Which one was better, Sonic 2 or Sonic 3?
I think with that one, I'd probably say.
Tough decision.
It is, yeah. I'd probably say Sonic 3's got a bit more to it. There's more exploration and things and whatnot. But Sonic 2, I think, edges it in terms of the playability.
Very true. But let's spin it in his head now. Now we'll do Sonic 3 and Knuckles bolted together.
Yeah.
And then Sonic 2. I think you get a different.
If you get Sonic, if you're talking about Sonic 3 and Knuckles, yes, that is better. That is even better, because that game alone is freaking huge.
It really, really does add to the feel that it. Sonic 3 myself is a very pretty game, and the power-ups that were added were very, very nice. In essence, to help Sonic out, as they're practically freaking useless to Tails.
Exactly.
I think the only one that Tails could possibly use to an extent is the natural air bubble one, and probably the magnet one, but the fire one is absolutely no use to him whatsoever, because he can't do Sonic's charging fireball attack.
Exactly, yes.
Retard 101. But Sonic became the staple platform games at speed, which a lot of people, a lot of games that came out, tried to replicate and never succeed.
Yes.
So I will shimmy that into Bubsy the Bobcat.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Fucking pale of garbage that game was. You look at it this way. They went, hey, we want to make a game as fast as Sonic the Hedgehog. We want it to be quick. We want it to have lightning reflexes to get about. And we want the people to feel that they're going at warp speed. And what you basically ended up with Bubsy the Bobcat is a extremely fast game which could kill you by dropping less than 6 foot, because you can't see anything that goes behind you, and generally the most worst enemy places ever, so any time you try to pick up speed, you hit something.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anybody who could honestly turn around and sit there and say that Bubsy 1 and 2, I'll give it this. The graphics are nice. The graphics are very nice for it as well. But it's just that crappy option to do that style of gameplay and trying to rip Sonic off, which really let the game down.
Exactly, yes.
So what's your say on Bubsy?
Yeah, it's one that I myself have not played very much. I don't even own the original cartridge of it, but I think, I've seen lots of it and things, and I've seen you play it, and I think the reason why I've not played it very much is just simply the fact that it looks very pretty, it sounds good.
Good, yep, they're digitized voices.
But it just plays like a dead dog. It's just really not that playable. You go along and it's like all of a sudden, you lost the life.
Cheap Death City,
exactly.
Isn't it?
It's just so cheap.
Yeah, I think somebody at Accolade need to be shot for that, personally. Okay, do bring us up another game.
Okay, right. Another game I want to talk about is, another one that a lot of people know, and that is the classic Disney game, that is Aladdin. Whoa. Now, my first memories of this was, this must have been about 94, I think.
I think it was about 94.
I had some other cousins who had a Mega Drive as well. They had the Mega Drive 2, I believe.
A lot of your family had Mega Drives, and
I wasn't allowed to have one, unfortunately. So,
have Nintendo with me for the kids.
No, it's just the fact that we had the Commodore 128, and we had a Commodore Amiga as well. We had loads of games machines, so it's kind of like,
redundant.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we went to we once went up there, and it's we were basically going up there because it was like one of my cousins was getting married, and we were sort of getting there ready for the wedding things, and it was like we got there the day before, and in the evening up we were there, they turned around to us and said, "So should we get the Mega Drive out? We want to show you this. We want to show you this Mega Drive game that we got for it." And so they plugged it into the TV in the living room and things, and set it all up, and they put Aladdin on. And by God, from what I saw, that game was that game was excellent. I mean, the funny thing is that I saw the game first. I saw and played the game first before seeing the film. The game itself is brilliant. Absolutely loved it. And it was like, this kind of, it's like, this really made me want a Mega Drive. Which,
Yeah, I
mean, luckily, however, we had, of course, a Commodore Amiga. One day we pop into our local Debenhams store, and what do we find? A version of the game for the Amiga. And so, but right, snap that up, buy it, and we got it home, and we were blessed with a version that was as good as the Mega Drive one.
It was the Mega Drive one. just with slightly lower red graphics.
Actually, it looks. I'd probably say slightly higher. It's more colourful as well. So yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Give it to my side. Aladdin is one of the best platformers on the Mega Drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Mm. No, it combines everything which makes a really good platformer. And even a very quick jerk event, especially when you're riding the magic carpet. Yeah, that gets a little tender and also very sore when you smack into the rock a few times. Mm. But it's definitely one of the best. And the best thing for me, Aladdin is my favourite Disney film.
It's one of my favourites.
Definitely. And Return of Jafar is underrated.
Return of Jafar, I've seen that actually. It was alright.
I think it's very underrated. It had a lot darker atmosphere to it, a lot more sinister atmosphere to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Actually,
have you seen the third one, Aladdin and the King of Fate?
I watched that on principle of, I like the first two. Yeah, I know this is one of the usual Disney cop-out straight-to-DVD movies, but it wasn't bad. It was a lot better than the usual crap they generate. Yeah. Hey, let's watch The Little Mermaid 3! No, that's not. Let's make Beauty and the Beast 2. Let's tell them a little more what they did when they were at the castle and all that. It's like, we don't care. But I think Aladdin and the Prince of Thieves was handled with very much more grandiose than...
Exactly, yeah. We're saying that, I've not seen it, so...
I would watch it if you got a chance. They usually crop out on Disney Channel anyway. Anyway, off topic! My choice! Yeah, my choice, moving on. Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I love this fucking game. I love Toe Jam and Earl. It's the only game of its type on the Mega Drive. It really is. I can't think of any game that tried to mimic this. The only thing that did annoy me is when they made Toe Jam and Earl 2, they turned it into a standard platformer and it's like...
Yeah.
But the first one always sticks out in my mind because it had a nice exploration feel to it. Great co-op as well. Because you could actually separate and move about. The presents were outstanding. The bad guys that were trying to kill you were wacky as hell. Somebody smoked half a pound of weed and said, "You know what? I'm going to make a game about aliens, and it's gonna contain bad guys like a dentist that kicks you in the ass and a phantom ice cream truck."
Oh yes,
that sounds good. And the rest of it's history. The game is simple. You just got to get the parts of the ship and get Toe Jam and Earl back to Funkatron, their planet. But what gets in your way is just literal insanity. Even down to the boogeyman is also trying to get you as well. So that's kind of like this is just too freaking weird for me. On that one, what was your impressions of Toe Jam?
It's not one I played back in the day. It's only one I've played recently via emulation. And I got to say, it may not be the most exciting of games to play. Not everyone likes the idea of basically going around finding objects. And it's quite a slow, compared to most other games on the Mega Drive, it's quite a slow pace. But I do agree that it's certainly very wacky. Yes.
Yeah. And you say slow pace. Yeah. Try saying that when you equip the rockets game.
Oh right. Yeah.
But I do give Toe Jam a high recommendation. And if you passed it up in the past, then definitely go back and give it a go on emulation, or if you could pick up a copy for your Mega Drive, I do recommend it.
I think it's one of those ones that it's not a rare game, but it's like expect to pay
about £8. I think around the region of £8.
I think maybe slightly more if you want to get it boxed or something, but
But I say that's money well worth it. Okay then, dudes, chuck another game into the mix.
Okay, right. Okay, well, there's one game I can think of, Micro Machines 96, or any of the Micro Machines games in that matter.
up until the point of Micro Machines V3 on the PlayStation, but that's the end point. Who didn't like Micro Machines?
I can't think of anyone actually.
No, because Micro Machines was a damn good little top-down racing game, and it gave the good impression of being able to do everything you've ever wanted to do, ride along pool tables, and I know one of the Micro Machines, one of the tracks is actually around the toilet.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's number two. I think it was.
And even like when you're in tracks like the bathtubs, and you basically see everything. It was just great. It was just really good track design, and I think the weakest one inside the series was Micro Machines Military.
I think
that was the weak one. I like it because it did have more of a combat focus to it. But if you want a racing style one, then Micro Machines any edition bar that one was always really good.
And the nice thing about one thing that makes the 96 version stand out is the fact it actually had a course editor.
Course editor, and also the other good feature of it as well was the J-Cart.
Oh yes, that's right. You could have whereby instead of having to buy a multi-tap, you could actually plug in two extra controllers into the joypad.
There was always the risk though of someone getting highly excited, going yes, and the cartridge comes flying out when they had it.
And actually, there's one thing I found interesting. There's two versions of Micro Machines 2. There's one with and one without.
I think I've got the one without.
I've got the one with.
So at least you beat me once with the punch. Okay, let's see what else can we chuck in there, which is memorable to me. Let's see the Golden Axe 1 and 2.
Oh yes, yeah, definitely.
Oh no, as a fighting game series set in a fantasy style world, that was very nice. It was very well done. Go next to you copy and paste.
It was more of the same. So
It was more the same. It's like, you remember those big knights we had in the first one? Oh yeah, well you got them again. Oh really? Yeah, but without their heads. Yeah, was the Sega AM department running out of ideas at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Pinnacle fighting game for the system. Streets of Rage.
Oh yes. Especially number two.
Yes. Give us your take on Streets of Rage.
Oh well, I've got to give it to him. It's top notch, in pretty much every aspect possible. The difficulty is balanced perfectly. The music in it is fantastic.
Yes, I can't remember his name. I think his surname was Kuzo or Yoshikozo, something like that. Dude, that guy is a legend.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, and I should also give a shout out to the graphics as well, which were almost like corn up quality. Yeah,
they were comparing them from the original Streets of Rage going into Streets of Rage 2. It made you sit there and go, wow.
Exactly. Yes.
And Blaze Fielding looked a lot hotter.
Yay.
If anyone ever turns around and sits there and mentions some of their favourite females, I will always put her up there, despite the fact she never ever got any sort of character development, and she's never ever done anything else. She's still one of the best females going, and probably one of the most prominent ones.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have two other things to say: one to Sega and one to a little people called Bomber Games. To Bomber Games, thank you for the Streets of Rage.
Exactly, yes.
Yes. You guys did an amazing job, and you created one of the best fan-made games ever. This one. It paid tribute to Streets of Rage in droves.
Exactly.
If you want to play a modern, up-to-date, but pure Streets of Rage game, I cannot recommend that game high enough. I'll leave a link to Streets of Rage Online, where they actually have the game. Sega tried pulling the plug, but... This is the internet! Yay. No, that ain't gonna happen. And this is a message to Sega. You sons of a bitches, reboot that franchise.
Yes, definitely. 100%. You've done it with so many of the other franchises. For God's sake, do it with Streets of Rage.
Yeah. Well, you have a Golden Axe... Beast Rider was on the PS3. There was an Altered Beast game on the PS2. Shinobi got a reboot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And why didn't you do it to these for this one? Now is the time.
Exactly, yeah. And another series you forgot to mention, Outrun.
Outrun. Outrun was possibly best on the Mega Drive, but mind you, it could handle it.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, actually, I think a lot of people don't seem to like... some people don't seem to like the Mega Drive version of Outrun. I thought it was really good.
It was good. It was a very good, very, very good port. But then when you look at Outrun 2019 and you realise, like, yeah, you skipped the boat on that. That one wasn't too good. I didn't play Turbo.
I haven't got Turbo, actually. The only one I got is Outrun. So,
it's the original.
I think Outrun 2019, I've played that by emulation. It's alright. It's certainly playable. I know Benway's been going through a lot of them lately. But Turbo Outrun was the strange thing is that I liked it at first, but now I look at it, it's just so choppy. Yeah.
Yeah. You sit there and you're like thinking like but it still has a nice touch to the whole sort of
exactly.
thing. But yeah. Two games I did mention back on. Altered Beast was a very nice conversion on the Mega Drive. That was practically arcade perfect.
Yeah, I think there's a few permissions there to do and things, but apart from that, it's quite a good conversion. It's not my favourite game of all time, but it is pretty good. Mm. And as an added fact, it was actually a launch title in the US. It was actually bundled. It was actually the first game to come bundled with the... since it's America, it was the first game to come bundled with the Genesis. Yeah.
Very, very true. Right. I could give you an underrated game. Or I could give you two underrated games. which a lot of people don't know about. And hold your breath, they were from Electronic Arts.
Yes.
Yes. The first one being Bob.
Yes, yeah, Bob. Excellent game.
Mm. A very hard and very underrated platformer, which I will recommend anybody give a chance to. I reckon you do give this a go. The other one is Rollo to the Rescue.
Yeah, that one's pretty good, yeah.
That is a very good platformer. The only thing I can quip on it as being problematic is no password system, and the game is big.
Ooh, yes.
The game is very big, so if you want to sit down and finish that game, make sure you've got at least a day spare, because you're going to die a
lot. Or you can be a cheater and just use an emulator. Save states.
Yeah, it's true. Save states. They'll work fine. Did you ever play Chican?
No. I've seen it, though. It does look good.
That is a very nice game, but it's hard as hell.
Exactly, yes.
I will give it that one. Another game. I'll throw some games out here to you. Earthworm Jim.
Excellent. I've actually got that on there. Well, saying that, I can go one better than you. I've actually got the Mega CD version. Yay!
Screw you. So, what else can you remember that's good about Earthworm Jim? Because I just remember its whole entire lunacy.
Yes. Yeah. I do think Earthworm Jim is practically one of my favourite. It's one of my favourite Mega Drive games. So, saying that, it was good on there. I'd say it's good on any system. Well, you can exclude the GBA version from that. That version was crap. But pretty much on anything else, it was a great game. Yeah, it was just like you said, it was just pure lunacy.
it was. Shiny Department were definitely on something when they made that
one. Exactly. Yeah.
A game a lot of people love, and I really fucking can't stand, Echo the Dolphin.
I don't mind that one actually.
That game was far too complicated for it.
I agree. It did have a very, very steep learning curve, but
steep. It was totally vertical.
So maybe the difficulty is not that balanced. But I think I think one of the things that what people liked about Echo the Dolphin was just its sheer beauty. It was a very a gorgeous looking game to look at, and the fact that, and of course the story there behind it was pretty good as well. You know. Yeah, aliens coming down to invade the seas and whatnot.
Yeah, so that was just me, but for me, called me a tit. Let's go to the Mega Drive version of Ghouls and Ghosts was a very good port.
Oh yes,
yeah, and that pissed off so many gamers. Just being too damn. I still have to record the video for Malk to prove to him that I can actually do that on the original hardware. So, Malk, if you listen to this podcast, I'm going to do it. Yeah? And you will watch me do it.
Exactly, yes.
Let's put it in this one.
And, I'd like to chuck in a few more games. One I can think of is Dynamite Heady.
Go on. I've never played Dynamite Heady.
You're missing out. It's made by Treasure, the guys who did Gunstar Heroes. And by God... Yeah. That is one of the craziest games I've ever played. It's a platformer, but it's set in like a puppet theatre, and it's like basically the idea is that you got these bad guys going and they're trying to take over the show and things, and it's like you're playing this character. It's like he's got to go around. It's called Dynamite Heady because it's like he's got interchangeable heads, and it's like you can pick up you can go around. You pick up all these like different heads, sort of thing. Like there's you can get heads that are like a bit hot that sort of have a bit more power to them. You can have heads that shoot star. You can have a head that shoots stars around you. There's one in which you can suck up all the enemies as well. There's one that makes you shrink.
Oh, so he's ripping curves, is he?
Almost to a certain extent, yes. But oh my god,
there's this little pink thing outside that wants to have a word with you.
Exactly. Oh my god, it's just so mad. In fact, one of the bosses are just as crazy as well. There's one. I think the second boss. It's like you're facing. You're trying to beat up a giant inflatable dog, and the only way you can beat it is to kill its tail when it wags it.
Oh, fair enough. Then. Right. I know one of the big things on the series was John Madden.
Oh, yes.
Everyone was sitting there, it's like, John Madden, John Madden, John Madden. Mm. No! My favourite American football game on the Mega Drive was Mutant League Football.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm.
That, if you want to play a game of American football that's not just your normal American football, I give Mutant League Football a very big recommendation. Because how many other American footballs can you murder the ref for a wrong decision? And while you're also playing on the field, not only have you got to worry about the other players, you've also got to worry about things like holes in the pitch, landmines, and various other odds and ends. Yeah, Mutant League Football was off its tits. And hey, guess what? It was another EA game as well. Hmm. EA made good games
back in these days, didn't they?
What happened, EA?
Exactly. And in fact, I can think of one good series. I can think of one great series that they did. It's Road Rash. Particularly number two. Me and my brother were a massive fan of that game.
Yes, definitely. Road Rash was one of the mainstays in the Mega Drive. Everybody had
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah. And it was too bloody awesome. I mean, come on. Come on, driving along on the Wild Thing 2000, turboing like there's no tomorrow, because that bike had infinite
turbos. Swing the chain round
and go back. And it's like you just go, whee! And go jumping over cars and things. Oh, that game was probably the most fun game I've ever played in years.
Very good. Should we go back to Disney?
Okay, then.
Quackshot.
Oh, yes, yeah, Quackshot, yes, of course.
Definitely a good one. A little bit of exploration needed. Good platforming. Very, very good Disney title. Mm. I really do. The Disney titles in the Mega Drive era, in the 16-bit area, really good.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Work,
there's only one I could probably think of. Well, it's one that everyone says is a bit crap. I've never played it, but that was Fantasia. A lot of people said the game...
Fantasia sucked.
A lot of people said that really wasn't very good. Other Disney games. There's quite a few. There was, obviously, Lion King as well. That was hard.
That was
exactly,
too hard.
Yeah, way too hard. Toy Story?
I never played
Toy Story.
So.
Graphically, it's the best looking game on the Mega Drive. Fantastic. And the difficulty level, yeah, it's a bit easy, but you got to remember it's a kid's game. but that was quite good fun. Tailspin?
I thought Tailspin was rather average.
Yeah, same, yeah.
If you ask me.
Same, Matt.
On that one. I could give you a couple of games to digest on. Revenge of Shinobi.
Yes. Excellent game. Yeah, absolutely love that.
Worthy successor to Shinobi, definitely.
Yes, so.
And hard as hell. And if you want to play the real man's version of it, you play it on the Mega Drive. Robocop vs. Terminator.
I can't believe that's one game I've not got in my collection, but I have played it on the real Mega Drive. I borrowed a copy of it from someone I did, and by God, that game was awesome.
definitely true on that one. Just scanning through lists for a few more that may prop out as well. Let's have a look there. Yeah, I've got Tailspin anyway. It's starting to get to Desert Strike, the Strike series.
Yep.
They were really good.
Oh yes, they were fantastic. Yeah.
Mm. They were definitely some of the best ones. One that a lot of people didn't like because it was too difficult. X-Men, the first X-Men.
I've played that
game.
One actually.
It's worth a try. It's hard as hell. And definitely worth a go at that one. Another one, which a lot of people keep saying the Super Nintendo version is better, but I completely disagree. I was going to mention that.
So yeah, that one I've actually got a copy of. That game is excellent.
Yes, it was. It's. I know they're sitting there. Oh, but the graphics aren't as good as the Super Nintendo version. Yeah, but the Super Nintendo version is 6 levels. The Mega Drive version is 33.
Exactly. Yes. But I've got to the end. I have, but it's like, I just can't get past the last level. That last level is a freaking bitch. Especially.
Are you talking about the Elvira bit or the Montana Max?
Elvira.
I find Elvira easy.
Really?
I find Montana Max.
Oh.
Also, the Mega Drive port of Zombies Ate My Neighbors was good.
Oh, right, yeah.
You were missing a few buttons, but they made it work. It was Konami,
yes.
Man. And. I know I don't have it, but I know I played it. Castlevania Bloodlines.
Oh, yes.
The only Castlevania game that was on the Mega Drive, and it was good. It was good.
Certainly.
And that they turned around and said, you can't do System 7 on or Mode 7 on the Mega Drive. Konami went,
exactly. Exactly. And another fantastic Konami game, which I'm trying to get my hands on, but it's maybe just a bit out of my price league at the moment. That is the Ninja Turtles, the Hyperstone Heist.
Hyperstone Heist. Definitely a definitive two-player scroller. Because it was a unique game from Turtles in Time, whereas the Super Nintendo basically got a simple arcade port of Turtles in Time, the Mega Drive kind of got a very unique version of it, which was more different and different bosses and various other ends. Trying to work off a few more, but Flashback.
Flashback is a fantastic game. Yeah.
Flashback is one of the best.
I first played it on the Super Nintendo, and I've since played it on the Mega Drive. They're just as good. Either way,
yes,
yeah. fantastic game.
And then trying to think of any others. I think we have most of those in our collection.
Quite a few.
So.
There's a couple of others I can think of. Thunder Force 4. I think it's known in the US as Lightning Force. I think. Another fantastic game. There's a few others. Pete Sampras Tennis.
That was another good one
from Codemasters. The Mega Drive port of Virtua Racing.
Yes, that is very good.
That was excellent. I think that one had a special chip in it, didn't it, to the 3D graphics.
Yeah, the cartridge was a right beefy bastard. I've got it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You thought EA cartridges were big?
Yeah, it was freaking huge.
It was huge. So we've got over some of the best of our games. Now, just briefly, let's go over some of the worst from our collections. Right. Some of the ones in mind. Balls 3D.
That's one I've played, but...
Somebody actually wrote on there and gave that game 91%. What was that person playing?
He's probably never played a game before in his life.
It certainly wasn't a decent fighting game, put it that way. As far as it goes, other games to avoid, which we may have in our collections. Green Dog.
I know one of my cousins had that. I wouldn't say I rated that one too highly. I'm trying to think of some others. I'm trying to think of some other bad games.
The Simpsons, Bart versus the Space Beast.
Yeah, that wasn't too great. That said, I've got a soft spot for the Amiga one. But the that was probably the one I played, but the Mega Drive version was, yeah. What other ones?
I had Monopoly on the Mega Drive.
Oh. I'm trying to think. I wasn't a fan of, I think it was Lotus Turbo Challenge on the Mega Drive. I didn't like that one at all. I thought it was one of the worst driving games, I think. It was the same with Lotus 2 and 3 on the Amiga. I thought they were a little bit overrated. But the first game I did like, but Lotus Turbo Challenge on Mega Drive. No.
Yeah. A game you've beaten up on the Amiga version, Rise of the Robots.
Oh, yes. To be honest, the Mega Drive version is slightly better than the Amiga one, but it's not saying much.
and a game that's getting rebooted. Fucking Shaq.
Good thing I've never played that, so...
Another
game I think is the right wall sticker is Champions World Class Soccer with Ryan Giggs. That game sucks.
That's what you get when you endorse a Man United.
Exactly, yeah.
Look at David Beckham's soccer on the PS1.
I think
we've given a little insight to some of the games on the system. Some of our personal faves. They're all available for emulation, or you may have them yourselves. Some of them are not too expensive on the second-hand market as well. So if you go looking about. But I have one question, and one question only.
What's that then?
To you, Andrew. Are you still pissed the fact I picked up Phantasy Star 2 for £5 at a boot sale?
Yes. I can't believe it. And you said it was boxed with manual as well.
It was boxed with a manual.
I think the only thing that was missing was the map.
Yeah, but you could get that online.
Oh my god!
But even without the map, that game sells for roughly around £50 a shot. And as I left, I heard the map. There was two guys on the stall, And I asked how much, and he said a fiver, and I paid immediately for it. And I heard the guy sit there says, I think you just ripped that guy off.
No, not at all.
I think I just ripped you.
Saying that, I kind of got my own back a few months later and got Bubble Bubble for the Master System for about 70p. So,
yeah, you fucker, I paid 28 quid for my copy. Yeah.
But that's a boxing manual. I got my boxing manual for 74p.
So I could say, I'm sort of pissed off and I'm like, doesn't matter really.
Right, that's our stumble of fortnight.
Yes.
Anybody you want to give shout out to?
Big shout out to the Fantasy Fiction Podcast.
Yes, I've been before as well.
Oh, fantastic. I'm just catching up.
So if you like your fantasy with a very sick sadistic twist and lots of laughs, I do recommend them. I'll stick a link in below for the Fantasy Fiction Podcast. They're on Podomatic just like we are. So if you're budding round our page on Podomatic, then give those a look as well. It's definitely worth their while to give them a listen to, especially if you want to get something that's a little different from computer.
Exactly. And if you want a podcast with one of the guys from that who do talk about video games, ContinueCast.
Yes. ContinueCast as well. And they've just started another one as well called Syndication Station.
I heard actually from one of the Fantasy Fiction podcasts that they were going to start a new one.
You're behind again. They're four episodes into
exactly.
It.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so that's our stuff for this one. I don't know what we're doing next time, yeah. So guess what? Mixed bag, people.
This one's kind of like dying of wind, wasn't it? I was thinking, what should we talk about? And I just looked at my Mega Drive collection, and I thought, that'd be something different.
I think next time we should go for something a bit more modern.
I think so.
Definitely on that one. So that's good. Also, shout out to the Gamer Dads before we go. Move It, thank you very much for accepting and announcing our challenge. As far as I know, nobody stepped up to the plate yet.
Yes.
So this is where I was saying that I reckon that you, Joey, and Toby should do it. we'll set you up, and then let battle commence.
Yes.
On that one. But as we don't own consoles, I'm pretty sure we could come to some sort of middle ground.
Well, actually, talking of consoles, Malcolm's kind of entered the fray of the modern consoles, isn't he?
Yes, he's had a tinkle with an Xbox One. I believe he's got a video somewhere which he's doing something with. So if he decides to get it up and ready and that lot, you'll be able to catch it on the site. And I will whore out our address again. It's www.rmifusion.com. Please sign up, join us. We have a forum. And answer your questions, bring your debate, come comment on our
videos. Yes, exactly, yes. So,
you will make us
exactly.
Happy.
Well, mind you, go off to the Xbox One. I don't think that's his, though, is it? It's his mate's. Yeah, it's his mate's. So.
But like I say, whatever's up and down with the Xbox One, I'm pretty sure. If you're happy with it, you're happy with it. It's totally down to you. It's your choice of gaming.
Exactly.
We have our opinions on it. We have our reasons why we don't support it. But if it's what you're happy with, it's what you're happy with. It's your gaming machine of choice. Sit back and enjoy your games.
I agree, yes.
Definitely. Okay, right. I think it's time to say goodbye.
So.
Okay then. So, all right. Goodbye for me.
Goodbye for me.
And we'll see you all soon.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.